Replay by Hannover Re. Expert insights on life and health insurance.
How data can enhance individual health outcomes, which healthcare initiatives have positively impacted insurers and policyholders, and what insurers can implement to reduce claims costs. Welcome to Replay by Hannover Re. I'm your host, Susanna Loomis, and today we'll talk to Wesley Clay about health and wellness in the life and health insurance industry.
This podcast is for general information only, no professional advice, and is subject to change. You can find the full disclaimer in our show notes.
Welcome to our podcast, Wesley.
Hey, Suzanne. Thanks for the invite.
Wesley is managing director and responsible for our life and health business at our subsidiary in South Africa. He was also the founding managing director of our office in Mumbai, India, and brings a lot of experience to the discussion. So Wesley, let's dive right in here. It seems like the term health and wellness is everywhere these days. Can you explain what exactly it means in the context of life and health insurance?
Yes, for sure. So health to me is the state of your physical, mental, and social well-being, and not just the absence of a disease or illness. And if we think about the insurance world, health is really a key factor determining the risk and so what premiums you're going to pay for your type of policy. So your health at application really is a key driver on the cost of your insurance, and even if you'll even be offered or accepted for insurance. Mm-hmm. I really believe, though, that the insurers should be playing a more proactive role in supporting policyholders to achieve their best outcomes throughout the whole of the policy lifetime, and not just be really aware of it at inception. And I hope through our conversation this will come through.
I'm sure it will. And what about wellness?
Wellness is more about that holistic journey to kind of optimal health, which again includes that physical, mental, and social well-being. And there really is a booming wellness economy. Estimates are at around $6 trillion globally. So wow, fairly substantial. Mm-hmm. And what we're also seeing is that consumers are really, fortunately now, really looking at the data, the science, and the outcomes, and not just trying any new fad or trend.
Oh, absolutely. It's great to see the shift towards information-based decision-making rather than just following new trends. And who benefits the most from maintaining good health?
So if we break it down, there are really three main entities that are vested in the elements I spoke about, your social, your physical, even financial well-being, and sometimes all of them together. And these entities are yourself, and by that I'm also referring to your family and dependents, mm-hmm, the government, the state, or your employer. And of course, the insurance company. And naturally, each of these benefit in your continued good health, but in different ways and obviously to different degrees.
Mm-hmm. And so where specifically does life and health insurance come into play?
Well, globally, we still see more and more claims coming and arising from non-communicable diseases.
And non-communicable diseases, meaning diseases that are not transmitted directly from person to person.
Yes, correct. So like your cancers, heart attacks, mm-hmm, chronic respiratory diseases, and not to mention, of course, the recent surge in mental illnesses. So your poor health, or let's say lack of healthy lifestyle practices, can lead to increased claims. And so really need to think about how we manage your health, the stress, all these factors, and help people live longer and healthier lives. And obviously that helps manage costs and ensure cover can be available to more people on the spectrums. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a number of insurers actually on a global basis entering the health management space. So becoming health management service providers, and actually the insurance products are just the vehicles through which policyholders can access those services. Mm-hmm. Another feature to mention, Suzanne, is that lapses are also a big cost driver in insurance. And we see far better lapse outcomes where the insurers actively engaging with policyholders on their health. So we really should be changing the narrative around insurance. In other words, helping policyholders become, before claiming, even better and their health outcomes.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. So we have three main groups that are invested in your good health. We have a rise of non-communicable diseases, largely caused by lifestyle choices leading to increased claims. And we have life insurers that are more and more becoming health management service providers. And I want to learn more about this in a second. But first, I know you're very passionate about this topic. What kept you in this field?
So in South Africa, insurance is an environment that really keeps you on your toes. It lives and breathes innovation, and we actively seek out different approaches when it comes to insurance. There's a strong regulatory oversight, but an environment that's really supportive of crafting, creating, developing new products and solutions that are beneficial to purchasers. And as you know, Many World First actually came out of South Africa, the critical illness products probably being the best known.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate also in my various roles to have been given tremendous autonomy to try solutions, negotiate new partnerships, and really to just experiment. So at this micro level, given the freedom to test within the company and combined with the South African environment, has really led to a number of new and exciting solutions. And I guess many of these initiatives have a strong connection to making insurance better, which is, I guess, a very broad statement. But I've naturally gravitated towards understanding what the drivers of mortality and morbidity experience are and how we can play a role in improving this, which is then, I guess, beneficial to the insurance sector, but also equally massively important to the end consumer and their families at large.
Mm-hmm. And what got you particularly interested in the health and wellness element?
You may not believe this, but I wanted to be a doctor.
Oh, good.
So when deciding on a university degree, it was always kind of a toss-up between medicine and actuarial science, given I've always had a fascination with biology and particularly the human body. So I guess these fields of interest have managed to coalesce quite beautifully, allowing me to feed both interests. So on the one hand, I'm exposed to calculating probabilities of someone dying, getting ill. And on the other hand, I guess I can see what, where, and how we can positively influence those probabilities. And getting to engage with our medical doctors and OTs really allows me to tap into the biology side to get a sense of what the drivers are.
Oh, that's interesting. Thanks for sharing. So going back to something you mentioned earlier about insurers becoming health management service providers, so let's talk about wearables or health apps in that context. The data collected through them can provide a very good understanding about one's health status and ultimately how to improve it. Can you share more about that?
Yes, absolutely. The evolution of wearables and fitness trackers has really kind of revolutionized health monitoring. You know, when we started way back when, it was just a step tracker and you could just clip it on your belt. And now we have these commercially available devices producing metrics on your heart rate variability, oxygen saturation, pulse waveform at near medical grade accuracy. And so it's been a fantastic experience to watch, well, excuse the pun, to watch this and how these devices have become more and more sophisticated. And I really believe insurers should be embracing this technology to provide the real-time health insights and really encourage and support policyholders to move into and maintain kind of an optimal health outcome. If I can take a chance, I'd just like to share about a company that we've been working with.
Yeah.
This company leverages computational systems biology. And this is a field of study that combines biology, computer science, maths, and physics to really understand how the biological systems function and how disease can affect them. And this company has developed a capability that through the metrics recorded on your enabled wearable can illustrate the impact of your actions during a day and how that impacts your biological age.
Which is different than your chronological age.
Yes, right. So the biological age estimates how a person is aging according to many different kind of physiological and biological factors. And really is a better indicator of your health than just simply looking at chronological age, which just measures how many years you've been alive. So this company uses over around 150 physiological data points, kind of the relativities between them and correlations, to get a really comprehensive picture of your health. And this I find amazing. And I would love to see how we can bring this more into the insurance community and actually more society at large, which is likely to have a tremendous effect.
And so why don't we just use this type of technology to improve overall health and wellness?
So there are some challenges. To me, health and wellness is really hinged on two pillars, which is awareness and action. It's quite basic if you think about it. We provide access to information, the education, screening diagnostics, creating awareness about your health. And following this, we want to be able to drive a course of action to kind of steer people to better health. So creating awareness and encouraging action across, you know, diverse population of ages, genders, and cultures is quite difficult in itself. How would we measure it and cost-effectively make people aware of potential harmful outcomes based on a genetics, lifestyle, or simply bad habits? You know, I really also think that such knowledge should be passed on to the insurer, because the more insurer knows about someone's health, the more they can actually support and actually encourage a preventative action.
Right.
And if I turn to the action piece quickly, how do we create the right incentives and motivation for individuals to make and maintain necessary changes? It really requires that we can package the awareness piece into an actions, recommendations, and insights that are actually easy to understand and really personalized to that individual's, you know, circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So insurers themselves are generally not geared towards providing these two pillars. And collaboration with external partners, suppliers, providers is really essential to provide comprehensive health and wellness solutions. And you know, Suzanne, as a consumer, we want it to be easy and seamless,
mm-hmm.
irrespective of how many parties need to be working behind the scenes to create the solution. So I guess for me, the integration of these various providers is perhaps the biggest challenge.
Right. And there are also costs involved.
Correct. So the insurer would incur additional costs to facilitate and providing these. And generally, we find there's a large timing difference between the outlay of costs to actually experiencing and benefiting from these changes, sometimes years into the future, and sometimes not easily to define in what amount or quantum, which can create some financial strain.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, there's reinsurance and other mechanisms that we can use to alleviate the timing and uncertainty of these kind of cash flow issues.
Got it. Besides the cost factor and creating awareness, what about different requirements that markets have? An important topic that pops into my head is data protection.
Absolutely. Data protection, and particularly when we're dealing with sensitive information on your health or medical records, data security is absolutely paramount. And I think the providers are really aware of this, and the security standards are exceptionally high. Actually, in many instances, the personally identifiable information is really hidden from the various parties to actually ensure anonymity. And to my mind, a validation of this is that we're seeing a really positive trend where more people are willing to share their health data with the insurance companies because they're really starting to see the benefits of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing that there's a willingness to spend money on premium features and apps now. And I guess the integration of wearable devices like smartwatches and fitness trackers is actually enhancing engagement and convenience and data accuracy. This indicates to me that actually both awareness and action are actually being progressed quite naturally. And as a consequence, there are many insurers now collaborating with the leaders and pioneers in this space.
Yeah, and we also have a separate podcast episode with Lisa Balboa about innovation in life and health insurance, where she talks about the benefits of adding services to an insurer's portfolio. So can you share examples of successful healthcare initiatives that have positively impacted both insurers and policyholders?
Yes, of course. I guess we've been involved and are involved in various programs globally,
mm-hmm.
but perhaps to mention our longest running partnership, which is with Vitality, a leading science-based behavioral change program.
And what exactly does Vitality do?
I guess in essence, what Vitality does is to seek to improve the health outcomes, make people healthier, and thus reduce healthcare costs. And to a large extent, those risk savings are then shared back with consumers.
Mm-hmm. And what are some results that individuals using Vitality's service have seen?
So we've got clinical evidence that indicates Vitality members are healthier, live longer, and actually claim far less.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you a concrete example, in South Africa, where Vitality was started some more than 30 years ago, and what we see is that the highly engaged Vitality members have about 76% lower mortality rate.
Wow.
And on average, actually live about 13 to 20 years longer than the rest of the insured population. I just want to be clear, this is public information.
Okay.
So it's free to use. But on the reinsurance side, at Hannover Re, we've also kind of ratified that impact through our own independent studies and evaluation of the data.
And are there other initiatives with a positive impact on life insurance outcomes?
Yes. So one that comes to mind is platforms that provide electronic health records. We've really seen a surge in those over the last few years. But interoperability, so that communication link across systems, remains a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sometimes conflicting needs for the usage and the format of the data, which means it's not always easily and readily adoptable for us in the insurance world. To give you some context, much of this data, somewhere around 80%, is unstructured. So a lot of text, imagery, signals, and translating that into information that insurers can use is quite tricky. And on top of that, it's really difficult in many parts of the world to actually link patient identifiers to policyholders. So it's an added challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a more positive, more practical initiative is that many employers and insurance companies, healthcare companies, are actually offering discounted fees or gym or fitness classes. So really encouraging that first step, that exercise opportunity. Can I mention another example?
Oh, please, go ahead.
So a product I really love is one we developed with one of the large pharmaceutical companies. And through this product, we offer a predetermined fixed payout when a claimant is eligible for targeted cancer treatment. So based on a genetic test, we can work out what drugs give the best outcome for claimants.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've started paying these claims out now, it's really illustrative to me that this has been a successful and quite a necessary product. To give you some insights, response rates for chemotherapy are around generally 30%, whereas if we offer a targeted therapy, this improves to 80%, but are generally quite expensive to offer.
Yeah, that's impressive. And I want to talk more about how these initiatives can translate into tangible benefits for insurers and end customers. Can you give us more insight into that?
Yeah, that's a great question. To answer quite simply, I would say that if nothing else, the health and wellness programs serve to attract and to retain healthy lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is massively important for an insurer as it needs to improve mortality outcomes over time and obviously the lapse rates. So if we consider two insurance companies, one that offers programs and benefits and perhaps discounts to healthy lives and the other doesn't,
mm-hmm.
the healthy lives will naturally move to or stay with the company offering the health programs, which leaves company B with an increasingly unhealthy portfolio of lives. And this is not good for anyone. So balancing against the upfront and ongoing program costs, these initiatives should not only be good for policyholders' health and well-being, but also on the premiums they actually get charged.
Mm-hmm. And so how can partnerships between reinsurers, insurers, healthcare providers, and wellness organizations foster a more comprehensive approach to health?
In working together, I really think these entities can create that integrated health solution, combining insurance coverage with the healthcare services and wellness programs. And this really leads to better health outcomes for the policyholders and reduced claims costs for insurers.
Mm-hmm.
So partnerships can facilitate that sharing of health data, the analytics, really enabling us for more accurate risk assessments and these personalized health interventions. And this helps identifying those high-risk individuals and providing targeted preventative care. So yeah, for me, collaborations are really going to only enhance the customer engagement by offering a holistic approach to health and wellness.
Oh, and that leads me to a great final question. So you'd say health should be approached with a holistic view that encompasses physical, mental, emotional, and lifestyle aspects?
Absolutely, 100%. That interplay and interconnectedness of these elements is actually non-refutable. I think someone that is in chronic pain, so for example, has a physical ailment perhaps, this can really cause tremendous emotional and mental anguish, mm-hmm. which causes depression and anxiety. And then on the flip side, if you have long periods of high stress or pressure, this can then weaken the immune system and or impact on a cardiovascular health, for example. So yeah, absolutely, a holistic approach is needed. But in addition, we really need to recognize where on the wellness journey a particular person may be sitting. So that personalization is really paramount in this context.
Well, thank you, Wesley. What an interesting conversation.
Thanks. I really enjoyed our chat. And there's always lots we can read and learn more. And perhaps a book I can recommend is one by Dr. Peter Attia called Outlive, which really is a great read.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Definitely something to look into. So today we talked about the impact of individual health outcomes on life and health insurance and different ways that initiatives translate into benefits for both insurers and customers. Thank you for listening to Replay by Hannover Re. We hope you found this conversation helpful. Don't forget to subscribe for more episodes, leave us a review if you enjoy what you've heard, and stay connected with Hannover Re on LinkedIn. Until next time.
The thoughts, ideas, documents, and other content discussed or shared in this podcast are not intended to constitute any professional advice. Hannover Re and the participants are not liable for any damages resulting from the usage of the content of this podcast. For further information, please see the show notes.